Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Dr. Louise Dunn from New Hope Ministries. Dr. Dunn, welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio.
Thank you.
And if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer, I'm sure our listening audience would be very thankful.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, and Lord, thank you for the New Hope Ministry. Thank you for all the work that you're doing through this Christ Cathedral campus, and we're grateful to be gathered today and grateful to be able to talk about your ministry and your work, and just want many blessings for our listeners today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And again, we're on with Dr. Louise Dunn, and the ministry that you are involved with is New Hope Ministries. And this is one of the ministries that's here in the Tower of Hope on Christ Cathedral campus. Though the Tower of Hope actually goes back quite a long ways. This building that we're broadcasting in right now on the eighth floor was built in 1968, which is also, I understand, the same year that Dr. Schuller initiated the formal ministry that you are now the leader of. Can you tell us a little bit about New Hope Ministries?
Sure. New Hope was started by Dr. Schuller because of the unfortunate suicide of one of the members of his congregation, and his wife had been doing pastoral counseling with her and was devastated by the loss and felt that there needed to be a place any time of the day or night that people could call with any type of issue and have someone to answer the phone. They actually waited for this Tower of Hope building to be completed in 1968, and on Dr. Schuller's birthday in September, commemorated the building and at the same time started the New Hope Crisis Hotline.
How did they go about doing that? You had an interesting story that went with the cross and with the telephone light and his flatbed truck.
Well, Dr. Schuller was always known for being quite a showman, and he had a flatbed truck put out in the parking lot, and there is a 90-foot cross on top of this building, which had already been put in place, and he had the counselors were already trained for the New Hope Hotline, and at the moment that they were commemorating the building, Dr. Schuller had a phone line all the way to the truck that he could dial, and he dialed the 714 New Hope number. The phone was answered, New Hope Hotline, and at that moment, the cross on top of the building lit, and the counselors on the other side said, "How can we help you?" And that was the commemoration of the start of the hotline as well.
And this tower, of course, is known as the Tower of Hope, which goes right along with this ministry. This was, therefore, an integral part of Dr. Schuller's vision for ministry, wasn't it?
Yes. And the lighting of the cross, he would always say, a light that shines out into the darkness of the world. And he meant that both in terms of Christianity and in terms of the hotline.
I'm familiar with Dr. Schuller growing up in Southern California when he was, I remember when they were building the Crystal Cathedral is what it was called then, and the donations that were being done for the different panes of glass. He was very good at preaching and his television program, but this particular building predates that, the large, big Crystal Cathedral building that he built. This building goes back to 68, and it actually was because of this ministry that that building had its origin. And what's wonderful to hear, Dr. Dunn, is that that ministry has continued under different forms, it sounds like, but it's continued since its founding in 1968 by Dr. and Mrs. Schuller.
Yes, we've been very fortunate, almost 50 years of service, and to be here in our historic home, which is quite a blessing, and we really thank the Diocese of Orange for allowing us to remain here. We are currently part of Catholic Charities of Orange County, and that came about when the Christ Cathedral was had sold the campus and was vacating the campus, and they did not have the money or the space to take New Hope with. And Dr. Father Christopher Smith had become very interested in the New Hope ministry because he was in the same building with us. He was one of the first people who came over from the Catholic Church, and for a number of months we got to know him. And just turned out that his sister, Tita Smith, who is the mayor of Orange and also executive director of Catholic Charities of Orange County, you know, being his sister, he called her, and she was interested. A meeting was set up.
Inside track there. That's very good.
Yeah. It was a miracle, actually, that everything fit together.
Well, Father Chris kind of specializes in miracles, we found. He's a very good man. We have him on here from time to time, though, Jim, we're going to have him back to talk about this story. This was a very good one. So tell us just a little bit, what is this hotline about?
Well, New Hope is a crisis hotline that is staffed by volunteers. Our volunteers are trained into peer counseling technique through what we call active listening. And active listening is designed to get people to open up, tell their story about what's going on. They can call us on any issue, and we will listen. We will help to process the issue that's going on, break it down into manageable pieces, sometimes through reflecting the person's feelings, let them speak to how they're feeling about the situation, also through summarizing what's going on to bring clarity, focusing on the primary issue.
So this is kind of a general service hotline, so to speak, that for anybody who has an emotional need, a psychological need, or is as desperate as suicidal, they can call this number.
That's right. Our counselors are trained in suicide intervention and prevention, but that's less than 1% of our total calls. We get calls from everything from grief counseling to somebody going through financial issues, to someone who's angry with their boss at work, everything in between.
I want to make sure we get this number out there on several times during the time that we have together, Dr. Dunn. The number 714 area code 639-4673, which is 714 New Hope.
Correct.
And you've had that same number since 68.
Yes, we have.
So people who are interested in finding some conversation all the way up to some basic counseling service in a crisis, that's a number that's a safe number to call from anywhere in order to have someone on the line at any time.
Yes, it is. And I do just want to point out the fact we're faith-based. We do offer prayer to our callers. Our counselors are all drawn from some Christian denomination. We are a multi-denominational service. And we find a lot of times that when things seem most desperate, it's the prayer that really touches the individuals that call us.
And for most of the people that are calling in, they're calling in not so much because they are suicidal. You mentioned that's a very small number of people that call in on that, though you do receive some.
That's right.
It's anybody who has any pressing concern, you're willing to answer the phone and be there.
Absolutely. And I also want to point out, we're open to anybody to call. You don't have to be Catholic or Christian or, you know, have any type of belief. It's interesting, though, that even with people that tell us that they're atheists or agnostic, sometimes if we ask them if they still want us to pray for them, how many people say, I can't hurt. So we still offer that, but if the person makes it clear up front they don't want that, of course, we don't pressure anybody in any way.
So this is truly a listening hotline, And I think you had said something about there aren't that many in the United States, if any at all, besides this. What's the statistic on that?
Well, as far as I know, as far as a general hotline that provides services to anybody, I don't know of anyone that's faith-based. There certainly are hotlines that do specific services that are faith-based. There are also wonderful hotlines that provide general services, and they're wonderful prayer lines. But we have a unique combination of both the faith and the hotline.
When we come back in a couple of minutes, I want to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about you and about what not only your experience in ministry has been, but what you understand about how this ministry has progressed, because your story is also quite interesting from the little bit that we've had a chance to talk. You're non-Catholic, and you kind of rode in here with this ministry and have been taken over and taken on with the Catholic Charities transition team and have stayed on with it. I want to make sure that we have a chance to talk a little bit about that, because it's a really neat story, and you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Dr. Louise Dunn. And Dr. Dunn is the person in charge now. Used to be a very large office. It's now not as large, but it's still staffed 24 hours a day on the New Hope Ministries hotline. And that hotline number, which is open all the time, is 714 area code 639-4673. And when we come back, we will be joined again by Dr. Louise Dunn of New Hope Ministries. And you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Dr. Louise Dunn of New Hope Crisis Center, or is it New Hope Ministries?
Or Crisis Hotline.
You're the Crisis Hotline. And this is a ministry that actually came with the Crystal Cathedral when it transitioned to Christ Cathedral after its purchase by the Roman Catholic Church when Dr. Schuller's ministries were transitioning. And in that transition, part of the agreement was that this particular ministry that had been really the first ministry established on this campus for this building in 1968, that this ministry would continue because it was such an integral part of Dr. Schuller's vision of ministry. As you said so beautifully, it's a light shining in the darkness, like the cross on top of this 13-story building, which is interesting unto itself. 13 floors, the 13th floor, the most unlucky floor is, of course, where we have the chapel, which I think is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Let's challenge that right away. But that cross on top was lit when the first phone call was made to the crisis hotline by Dr. Schuller himself. Now, you weren't there.
No.
But you did tell us that there is someone who is still with the ministry, who actually was a very young person and started back in 1968. Tell
That's
us
right.
a little bit about that.
Yes, our counselor, who is still with us today, she was a young mom and started very early and has continued, and she remains a wonderful counselor, and she remains a wonderful volunteer leader with us. And we're very blessed that she's continued her service without ever taking a break for 49 years.
I understand God has blessed her as well, that she has been doing well herself in doing this ministry. So that is such a wonderful story to hear. I want to hear a little bit about you, though. You didn't get involved in this ministry directly. And in fact, this really wasn't a career path that you were thinking about doing, is what I understand. Tell me, what's your background, and how did you get into this ministry?
Well, first of all, I have a master's in counseling, and I had been working in voc rehab for a number of years, wanted to get back into mental health counseling.
Voc rehab, vocational rehab?
Vocational rehab.
Okay.
And I had started attending Crystal Cathedral. Actually, what brought me originally were the pageants. I came to the Glory of Easter and saw a beautiful church.
Those of us who have seen that, yes.
And I decided to come back for Easter services and just started attending off and on, heard about the New Hope Crisis Hotline. Now, to put it in perspective, right before I started attending the church, I had lost my best friend to suicide, and it had a profound impact on me, especially being a counselor, that I couldn't help her. And I kept hearing about the hotline. It took a while before I could do the training. Came on board in 2001 as a counselor, volunteer, and no thought ever that I would do this kind of thing professionally, because working for a church, I was working in the corporate world, and I knew there would be a slight salary difference between those two.
I would assume so.
Yeah. But what happened was, after about a year and a half of volunteering, I left my job. I really wanted to come back into some type of mental health, and I was interviewing with some sizable nonprofit organizations, good salaries. And it just happened there was a job being posted at New Hope. I had no interest in it because at that time I never saw myself working for a church. But I had friends that were encouraging me to at least put my resume in. And anyway, God got a hold of me. And
God has a way of doing that.
And it just, a long story short, I ended up coming on as the manager of New Hope on a staff of 10 people and with a director and three supervisors and all of that. So after being there for a period of time, Christ Cathedral was already starting to have some financial issues, and it just seemed like every 6 months we were losing part-time people, and then we started losing full-time people. And over the several years, by the time we got to 2012, we were down to a staff of one. And I had become the director, but also the supervisors and pretty much running the show. So,
but you had, you still have a cadre of volunteers.
Still have the volunteers. And through the transition with Christ Cathedral selling the property, we were fortunate enough to meet Father Christopher Smith, who was one of the first people from the Catholic Church sent over here in the Tower of Hope. He became very interested in New Hope, and through one of our pastors who had introduced him to the program, was trying to see a way perhaps that we could stay, because it became very obvious that there wasn't going to be enough space or money for Christ Cathedral to continue us. And it just happened that Father Christopher's sister is Tita Smith, the mayor of Orange, also executive director of Catholic Charities of Orange County. And she came to a meeting, asked if there was any money that could be put up to help the transition, because Catholic Charities programs are all supported through grants or dedicated donations. They said no. And she said, how much time do I have to get the money together? And they said 2 weeks. And she said, I'll see what I can do. And I knew we had the right person in there. it was actually through a temporary grant that the bishop came into play on that, Bishop Van, to help Catholic Charities take over New Hope the first 6 months. And then it was arranged that once the Tower of Hope was renovated, that we would move back in here. So we moved out of the building during the renovation, moved back into the building, and were provided with a customized area. And we've continued ever since, so now 4 years with Catholic Charities, and we're very blessed to be with such a wonderful organization.
Now, describe the offices a little bit down there. What floor are you on?
Well, we kind of like to keep that a little confidential.
You got that,
but we are here in the Tower of Hope.
You're below the eighth floor, because I know you came up for us.
Okay.
describe what the operation looks like.
Well, essentially, when you walk in, it's one large room divided into cubicles, but with walls that go all the way up to the ceiling. So it provides privacy, confidentiality. My office is at the end of that room. And it's very comfortable on that floor. We also have a conference room. There's a kitchen that is available. And so it's very comfortable for the volunteers. We have each booth has a phone and a computer and a small desk with our resources.
So this is essentially the entire floor decked out for your ministry. This particular building, it's interesting because each floor, it's a medium-sized floor, so it doesn't take very much to take up a whole floor.
Yeah. Well, we actually have about half because the conference room is actually open to everybody in the building, that whoever wants to reserve it. So that's not technically our space, although we can reserve it also.
I bet it's good for lunches,
and,
too.
Yeah. But even to have half a floor is quite nice.
How many phones do you have then available? Because it sounds like there's more than one.
Yeah, we actually have a total of 8 lines.
Oh, wow.
And at any given time, our average shift has about 4 counselors, but as the night progresses, that gets thinner and thinner. we've never had, I think, more than one counselor on anywhere between midnight and 6 a.m.
Yeah, Catholics there are some Catholics would identify with this when you're talking about finding people to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament late at night when we have exposition of the sacrament. That 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning shift just doesn't get covered very easily.
Yeah.
It would be very hard. But you've got 8 phones up there, and the possibility of being able to cover 8 lines, that's a lot of coverage available when you're fully staffed and running.
It is. And part of that also, it helps expedite our training because we do 3 live training classes a year. And when we're doing those classes, part of the training, following classroom training, the trainees come in and actually listen to calls by experienced counselors. And that allows them to be in a booth and be able to listen in as well.
So, okay, so it's better than role-playing. Yeah. You're actually observing a counselor who's involved with a call if you're part of that training program.
Yes, and then when they're near completion, the trainees come in and take calls with trained trainer listening to each call and discussing each call with them, and they don't get assigned on to shifts until it's concluded that they're comfortable with taking the calls and they're ready.
So for people who are calling in, the odds of them getting a busy signal is pretty slim, unless, of course, it's between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning and there's only one operator that's out at the time.
Well, they do sometimes go on to the hold line because our average counseling call can be as much as 25 or 35 minutes. So even if there's 2 or 3 counselors on, if they're all handling very difficult calls, sometimes it is harder to get in. People are always asked, when's the best time to call in, and it varies. There are also times that I have 4 counselors sitting there waiting for the phone to ring. So,
right. It's either feast or famine, and you get a little bit of both all the time. So people that call in, you don't have necessarily a timer that says, okay, you've got 3 minutes to talk to me. Go.
No. Our calls usually are at least 10 minutes long. But if it's a serious call, and if it's a suicide call, it can be 45 minutes or an hour for one person to actually be handling that call. But most of our calls, if you look at an overall average, about 10 to 15 minutes.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm on with Dr. Louise Dunn. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about New Hope Ministries. And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is actually someone who is not Catholic, but from a ministry that came with the Crystal Cathedral before it became Christ Cathedral. Dr. Louise Dunn brings us New Hope Ministries. And New Hope Ministries actually was founded in 1968 by Dr. Schuler and his wife. Shortly after, Dr. Schuler's wife had a friend who committed suicide. And we've been talking to Dr. Dunn about how that then became an integral part of Crystal Cathedral Ministries. and that this whole tower, New Hope, actually had its founding as part of this ministry, as a light into the darkness, and part of that was this hotline. And the hotline, if anyone ever needs to call it, is a very simple number, 714-NEW-HOPE. And that 714-NEW-HOPE has people on it that can listen to you. They're faith-based, and they are generalists, which means it's not necessarily about divorce, though if you're going through divorce and you need to talk to somebody just to get through some of the emotions of it, you can. It's not just about suicide, though if you're suicidal and you want to talk to somebody, you can. And even though it's faith-based, if you call in and say, look, I'm agnostic or atheist, I don't want to deal with any of this God stuff, they'll talk to you. Did I say anything wrong, Dr. Dunn?
No, we'll talk to anybody about any issue that they have, and be happy to talk to them if it's something that they think is minor or something that is really serious.
Now, you didn't start with Catholic Charities. We were talking about how your ministry was brought into Catholic Charities and how both Father Christopher Smith and then Bishop Van were able to transition the ministry so that it continued in the offices here in the Tower of Hope. What's that been like for you? Has it been a fairly comfortable transition?
Yes, it has been because, first of all, our counselors came over, our counselor volunteers came along. It was interesting. We were in our temporary housing, but because Tita Smith Catholic Charities made us so welcome, took such good care of us, everybody in the diocese and everybody at the parish has been really warm and welcoming, so it was.
I'm glad to hear that. It speaks so loudly about true nuts and bolts ecumenism, that we're able to work together in order to accomplish the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that's really the key here, is what Dr. Schuller really envisioned in this, was that the light of Christ would go out into the world of darkness, and depression and its related problems are truly a darkness that this particular ministry is designed to shed a little light on.
Absolutely.
I want to talk for a moment about the volunteers. We mentioned that you have one volunteer who's been here since 1968 and is still going strong. But most of your volunteers obviously have come along since then, some of which have come along, I'm sure, since the transition. You still are taking and training new volunteers.
Absolutely we are. And the qualification is to be from a Christian denomination, Christian or Catholic. About one-third of our counselors now are Roman Catholic, which is wonderful. And we've always had Catholic counselors, but because we're known in the parishes now, we're drawing more from the Catholic Church as well.
So it's nice if you've had a PhD in psychology and can have had lots of training and hours doing, but that's not a requirement for volunteering with this program.
Not at all. What is the requirement is to have a caring heart, to be very patient, to be able to listen to others' stories and that be interesting to you, and to have a resilience where it doesn't totally break your heart every time you hear something difficult. And our backgrounds, we have engineers and teachers and nurses and CEOs of companies and people that have been laborers. So it really is more a matter of personality than it is of background.
You have a training coming up, I understand, in September. Not necessarily that's where people would come that are volunteering now would go, or is it? Is there room still in those trainings?
Oh, absolutely. We are starting our class on September 9th. It will run Saturdays consecutively for 6 weeks, from 9 in the morning to 12:30 in the afternoon, free of charge. It's right here in the Tower of Hope. And we always need people who care about others and are interested in helping.
And if you show up, you have to sign an agreement that says you will volunteer for the next 12 years.
No.
No.
If is a good fit for a person and they want to come on board, we'd love to have you stay at least a year with us. But there's no mandate. And sometimes people have to decide if it's going to fit into their life. But we're very open to that. Active listening is really helpful to people, even if they're not going to stay on with New Hope.
One of the things I learned in the little bit of counseling that I was trained in when I went through seminary was that it can be very draining sometimes. It's definitely not just about listening and hoping to help somebody. It's very easy to get caught up in their world a little bit. So this is something that would involve discernment as well, as both for the person coming in, and I assume on your side as well, looking to see, is this a fit both ways?
That's right, because sometimes for people that take things in deeply and it's really hard for them to release that, it can become a burden. But for the person that can step into the situation, be fully present, be able to assist somebody, and then let go, move on, works really well. And that's something that is kind of more inherent to the person than taught. But so many times the counselors are just exhilarated at the end of the call if it goes well. And the greatest words to hear is somebody to say, I feel so much better. I'm so glad I called.
That would be wonderful words to hear. I'm sure that it doesn't always end that way. Do you have counseling for the counselors? Do you work with the people that are working for you in order to make sure that they're grounded and that they've got some breathing space as well in their life?
Yes, that's part of my job, is to debrief with the counselors, especially when they have a heavy call, a suicide call, or a situation where a person has other types of crises. And I talk with them, and the biggest thing is the counselor always wants to know that they did everything that they could. And so encouragement from my side is a big part of that. Counselors can debrief with each other, too, and they're very good at that. And the experienced counselors really are a big help with that, with newer counselors.
If people are interested in this, this would be, again, a 6-Saturday training course taught here in Garden Grove at Christ Cathedral at New Hope. They'd find out that information how? How would they go about finding out how to get involved in your ministry?
Either person can contact me through my telephone number at New Hope, which is 714-620-8810.
The number again is?
714-620-8810. Or even better, if you can contact me by email at ldunn, at newhopenow.org.
Say that one more time, because it's just one stroke off and you don't get it through.
ldunn at newhopenow.org.
And they can get information by email as to how to go about registering for this, or even some information as to what this is really all about. And then I know that there's a little bit of information that is on the Catholic Charities website that gives just a little brief background on when it was New Hope Crisis Center and then New Hope Online Ministries.
That's right.
And all of the transitions that have taken place since then. But you've been involved with this for a while now, and you actually went through the transitions and you've seen up close and personal how this works. When you see people that come in and volunteer, do you kind of know right away whether or not these people are going to do well with this ministry? Or is it something that it just kind of either you have to kind of just see how they do?
Even before people come in, when I talk to them by phone or look at the emails, I kind of get a sense if this is something that, first of all, they know what they're getting into, and second of all, that it's going to be a good fit. First time somebody comes in, our first class is an orientation, and that time I really talk to them exactly about what they're going to be doing, what they're going to be handling. I can usually tell by the expression on somebody's face if their mouth is hanging open and they're looking like, oh my goodness, I've never heard such things, or if they have a really concerned look on their face. A lot of times I'm getting the sense it's not a good look. Not going to be a good fit, but I also see the people who are nodding, and you know, you see them going, yeah, and oh, yeah, yeah, and I know that person, this is going to be a good fit for them.
Now, when they come in and they go through this training program, the first week is about orientation. What are the basic skills they're going to learn after that, the most important parts?
Well, our foundational teaching is active listening, and that involves using open-ended questions to get people comfortable talking, breaking things down by using summary, reflecting feelings, which is simply from what you're hearing in the person's voice, what you believe the person to be feeling, which can be very connective. Following that is grief counseling. We have a class that's just on prayer, how to pray with somebody you don't know on the phone. For some people, they've never done that before. We have, of course, suicide intervention and prevention.
When we come back, I want to continue talking about not only the training, but I want to hear some success stories, because I know you've got some. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Dr. Louise Dunn, and we're talking about New Hope Ministries, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Dr. Louise Dunn. And while I have you in our last segment, I want to thank you very much, Doctor, in case I forget, for coming in and talking with us and sharing this beautiful ministry where you're bringing light into the darkness, just as Dr. Schuller had wanted to do. Thank you for doing that. You were talking about the training program, and you were saying that you deal with all these different things, divorce and suicide, but we were then off air talking a little bit about a couple more things. I want you to finish up. What's the training? What's the rest of the training that they go through in that 6 weeks that they go through Saturday trainings?
Well, the main thing is helping people in crisis, suicide prevention, intervention, the grief counseling. We do prayer, how to pray with callers on the phone, and then there's a role play session that we do to put all those things into place. And then, of course, they have their one-on-one sessions where they come in and work with our trainers actually on the phones.
And then I was talking with Jim, our technical director, about whether or not during the holidays do we see a spike in phone calls. And you kind of surprised me with your response to that. So what do you do during the holidays? Do you get a spike in your phone calls? And how does that work?
Well, it's not really what people think. People always think it's going to be Christmas time. But actually, where the spike comes are on days like Valentine's Day, when people feel really alone. Also, we may get more before the holidays. There's a lot of anxiety about perhaps going to the in-laws or going to see family.
So complications of the holidays, not so much the loneliness of Christmas time.
Not as much. And after the holidays, when the bright lights are gone and everything kind of goes back to dull normal, we may get more calls at that time. But it's not as predictable as people would think. It definitely, we get a lot of callers who are lonely. But it's when there's just not that much to do and they're lonely that we tend to get the spike in calls.
I read an article that was talking about Valentine's Day, and that was actually from a lawyer who was talking about the number of divorces that get filed the week after Valentine's Day. That doesn't shock me that you would have a number of phone calls where Valentine's Day becomes kind of a crisis. This is kind of the final straw for relationships that are already in deep trouble.
Well, it can be. We definitely get more of the people who are just alone, people who are widowed, people that are divorced, people that just don't get along with their families, and they look at all the happy couples, and that really affects them very much.
That's a Facebook problem, too. You see everyone on Facebook, and they're all having lovely, wonderful dinners and lovely, wonderful things they're doing, and but that ain't me. I'm not having that wonderful time. That comparison has proven to be a problem for some people. And I would assume that that has kind of led to part of the issues recently. Have you seen, the effect of social media and some of the calling that you get?
Some. We have some of our younger callers, particularly where that comes into play. Most of our callers are probably more in the older category and maybe not as affected, but we do definitely see a lot of effect on what's going on in the news. And people will call very concerned. I don't even want to talk about during the election time.
No, we're staying clear of that generally. But you saw distress mm-hmm. from people worried about what happens if candidate X or candidate Y wins.
Absolutely.
Wow. What are some of the success stories that have happened over the years for you?
Well, I think that the top of the list are always going to be successful suicide interventions. And I remember one in particular where the woman involved, she was middle-aged and her parents had died and her aunt and uncle had died. And she had been caregiver to each in turn living in the family home. She never married. She never had children. She worked in a small private college where she said, it's the kind of place where all the buildings are named after the grandparents of the students. Students could cheat, and the college would not kick them out because Ooh. Of that. And that her only friends had been her parents' friends. And so she was imminently suicidal. She had a plan she wouldn't reveal. She said she was definitely going to do it and do it, you know, within a day or so. And counselor just stayed in there but ultimately threw up a prayer to God and said, God, there's so much darkness here. Just please bring some light. At the time that that was spoken, the person actually said, oh, my God. And the counselor said, what? What's going on? And she said, all of a sudden, I just have a vision of what my life could look like. You know, I need to sell this house, which is full of sad memories. Maybe I could buy a little condo that would be easier to take care of. And then she went down a whole list of things. And then she said, you know, as a teacher, is there any other thing I could do? And the counselor said, oh, my goodness, you have so many transferable skills as a teacher, and started talking to her about those. The end of the call, the caller says, I can't wait to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to list the house. And once I'm moved, I'm going to start looking at other jobs and get the heck out of this job. And it was such a total turnaround. Absolutely amazing.
Wow. What a wonderful story. Dr. Dunn, you have had a wonderful ministry, and the transition that has come, you've not only weathered well, but you've been able to continue to move this ministry on. Again, if people want to have more information on how they can volunteer for New Hope Ministries and this wonderful hotline, where all they really have to do is listen and talk, kind of in that order, it sounds like, to listen and talk, how would they get a hold of you or get a hold of that information again?
Give me a call at my office number, 714-620-8810, or even better, email me anytime at ldunn, that's LDUNN, at newhopenow.org.
And then the hotline number for anyone, I mean, that's kind of the whole reason why we're here, is to be able to talk a little bit about that hotline number. That actually goes all the way back to 1968 when the Shulers were able to secure that number. That number again is
714-639, and the last part of it just spells HOPE, H-O-P-E.
714-NEW-HOPE. And that ministry has been around here now since 1968, and what's been fascinating about this whole thing has been that the transition has been focused on getting the light of Jesus Christ into the community, not about whether this was Dutch Reformed or Presbyterian or Catholic. It's about Jesus Christ and his light into the world. I want to thank you, Dr. Dunn, for all that you've done with this. This is something that I think when we were talking before about how the founding of this ministry was also the dedication of this building, when people drive through Orange County, it's hard to miss that cross up on top of the Tower of Hope here. And that is a reminder that in the darkness, there is light that comes into the world. And your ministry has become a part of that. And I hope everyone now who drives through Orange County and sees that cross on top of the Tower of Hope remembers the Ministry of New Hope and that there is a place to call. And it's a very easy number to remember, 714-NEW-HOPE. Dr. Dunn, I want to thank you. Would you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Thank you, absolutely. Dear Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for just sharing the light of Christ out from this campus, out from this building, out from the New Hope Ministry. Thank you for our callers listening today, and anyone that is feeling in need of help, that they feel open to be able to contact New Hope. And thank you for just the many blessings that you have brought to so many people for the last 49 years through this ministry. And Lord, we just thank you for the listeners today and just blessings to everybody hearing the broadcast.
And Dr. Dunn, I want to thank you one more time for all that you have done and the stories that you brought and this ministry. I mean, the idea that we not only have a ministry in this building still that was established all the way back when Dr. Schuller established this building in 68, that's astounding. And it is a very good sign of a very good symbol of the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ and how it transcends all borders. And for the stories that you've told, that we've got people that have actually been with this ministry all the way back since 1968 that are still working with the ministry is also astounding. Thank you so much for coming in and for sharing so much of yourself and of the life of this ministry. It sounds like a thankless task since you do so much. You're now the chief cook and bottle washer of the entire thing. You're the director, but you're also the supervisor. You're the one who makes the whole thing run. But there are opportunities for other people to come in to help you. This broadcast goes throughout all of Southern California. It's my hope that people who would like to volunteer, and you've got volunteers that come in from San Diego and from Los Angeles, as well as throughout Orange County. My hope is that you'll be inundated with lots of volunteers, as well as calls from people who genuinely need a little light in the darkness. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and with me today has been Dr. Louise Dunn from New Hope Ministries. And may God richly bless you in all that you are and all that you do between now and the next time we see each other next week.
Christfest 2017, a Christian music festival featuring Mac Powell from Third Day.
And I'll show you what love sees.
Shane and Shane. Russia Fools, and more. Saturday, September 9th at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. Honoring Sir Bruno Serrato and feeding OC kids. Christfest 2017. Presented by St. Joseph Health and Farmers and Merchants Bank. Get your tickets and more info now at ChristFestOC.com.